Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Jason Fox, pleasure to have you on Whole Truth Podcast. You are really quite a remarkable human being. I obviously don't have to agree with that. It may be a bit weird if you did.
I tend to not disagree. There's a few exes out there that disagree as well, probably.
Of
but
course.
There we go.
Oh, okay. Well, you have travelled through the realms of the human experience in a way that not many people, I suppose, would ever need to or want to. Or you've done it actually for the sake of others. So, I mean, I'm being very cryptic. We're going to get into more specific ideas of what you've done. Look, you were in the. I need to get this right. How would you say it? The SAS, the army?
Yeah, I was in the military, yeah.
So military.
I joined the Marines.
20
years, yeah.
20 years.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, please.
I mean, yeah, I grew up in a place called Luton, which is...
Got a wicked airport.
Mate, do you think so?
No.
Mate, it's the worst airport. Do you know what? I they're going to hate me for this. I hate Luton Airport. I've never had a good experience there.
And they've been refurbishing it constantly and nothing's changed.
I know, yeah. And you're still queuing up and you've got to buy another ticket from the train station.
The bus.
Yeah, the bus.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about it.
So anyway, yeah, I grew up in Luton.
Yeah,
I grew up in Luton. I didn't do well at school. In fact, that's an understatement. I did terribly at school.
Right.
I could see that I was getting into trouble. I don't know how I noticed it as a 16-year-old, but subconsciously I knew I needed to do something. So... the military it was, and I just, you know, I was an outdoorsy person. There was a few other influences, but I decided to join the Marines.
I mean, you joined the army young.
Yeah.
But would you say you were conscious of mental health? Like, or how it would affect you?
Nah, I wasn't. And actually, if I'm honest with you, I was a massive non-believer in mental health, in soldiers,
I suppose. As an issue.
Yeah, because I'd heard about it. And I was like, well, I've been involved in like an awful lot of stuff, and
yeah.
I'm all right.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, is it a get out of jail free card? Is
oh,
it just,
right.
You know,
so were there actually people who were?
I'd heard about it, yeah, not firsthand,
right?
But I'd heard about the aftermath of certain things going on, and it's not that I debunked it. I was a bit like, I'm not sure about this. And then obviously. Fast forward a couple of years or so, and I'm eating a fucking huge slice of humble pie.
Yeah.
But it never, it's not like I was jumping under tables. It wasn't like the Hollywood sort of PTSD that you,
right,
in the way
sure,
it manifests.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I just felt fucking down. And I wasn't enjoying my job, and I was like, and I was getting ready to go away again, which is.
So it's literally after, so it's actually 20 years. After you started the army was probably when you first realised that.
Yeah, probably, yeah, about 18, 19 years.
Wow. But you've spoken out about how the army has affected you.
Yeah.
And you actually have a charity called Rocks.
Rock, yeah. So we got an organisation called Rock to Recovery.
That's it. Sorry.
And it was basically me and a friend of mine, who we co-founded it. We're still involved. He's very much operational. He's a guy called Jamie Sanderson. He's a ledge, and we sort of both left the military for the same reason. We had to leave because we were diagnosed with PTSD. And
PTSD is something like I hear about a lot in regards to the army.
It's a weird brand.
So for those of you who don't know, that stands for post traumatic stress disorder. Can you just go?
It's like a brand, but as far as I'm concerned, there's two types. In my opinion, there's two types. You've got complex and you've got single point. Single point is, for instance, if you were in a horrific car crash or something really, you know, you witness something that's not good.
Yeah.
You obviously have a single point that's a trigger, and obviously it affects you. Whereas complex, for me, is anyone can suffer from it, and it's a natural reaction to life, really. But as an example, I'm a soldier. I spent years training to be a soldier, waiting to do stuff that was pretty mental. Then when it happens, you're like, well, you've conditioned yourself. Subconsciously, your mind has been like, well, I'm getting ready to do something or be involved in something that is abnormal. It happens and not really fazed by it. But then over a period of time and with life experience as well, you know, getting married, getting divorced, having children, kids are sick, can't pay bills, car crash.
Well, I've heard, isn't that, not, some people call that perpetual stress disorder.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Everyone's got a different brand for it, but essentially it's just, all it is a normal reaction.
So being under a lot of pressure. Yeah. But surely though, along the way there would have been what was the first type you called it? Does it have a singular?
The singular point.
I mean, man, being a... Yes, but you were out there, you know?
There is. It wasn't really the sort of me going, oh, God, it never manifested its way itself in like a Hollywood way.
But there wasn't ever one experience or one or two.
You know, there's ones closer to the end of my career that I'll remember.
Right.
And when I left, I went through a period of reflecting negatively, like, oh God, that was horrendous. And, you know,
right.
What about those, you know, what about other people that were affected by what has happened? And did I make the right decisions? All this sort of thing. It's basically dwelling on the past, which is essentially a mad thing to do because you ain't changing it.
That sounds really healthy because I do believe that to recount events in your life can be beneficial.
Yeah.
Because there is also maybe an ignorance to being like, or not an event, ignorance sounds more insulting. I mean, avoidance for good reason. Like there'll be some things in my life I just don't want to think about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've actually ended up suppressing. Whereas to let it,
I think it's you're right, like avoidance as opposed to acceptance.
Yeah.
And you know, accepting and using it as a, you know, you look at sports personalities, whatever, that keep, they continually what they call fail, but they're not really failing. They're just finding out what they need to do to succeed.
Yeah,
you know,
of course. What
I mean? And how to pick themselves up.
I might be wrong here. I'm picking up an energy that you're almost a bit perturbed by the label of PTSD.
I am a little bit. You know, there are people that need to have labels and sometimes, you know, and for the right reasons. But for me, it was just. I went through a phase in my life where I probably looked back at things in a negative way, and I was like a cup of water. It doesn't matter how big it was. That had been getting filled up, so say that water of stress, and then it just overflowed. I just needed a release, needed some time out, and needed a, you know, a break, and also be guided in a way that I learned myself how to manage it. Being honest with yourself,
it is
entirely about if you're acting or feeling in a certain way, you've got to sit down and look at yourself in the mirror in a deep way. As much as that sounds as like it's a nause, unless you want to sort of fix it or get around it or whatever it is you need to do, you got to be like that. Actually, do you know what? Because I thought I was being honest with myself for a long time, and I wasn't. I was just pretending to be. I was like, yeah, I've got something going on, but you know, I'm
totally.
And then in the end, I was like, hang on a minute.
Well, it manifests, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Was there any particular moment, only if you want to share it, where you were like, oh.
Yeah, I'd say I was sort of like, I obviously knew that I had stuff going on. And I was like, yeah, you know, I was going to see people, but I wasn't really, being honest in with regard to how I was feeling and what it was that was going on. I wasn't being honest. I didn't know, probably.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I was failing at a lot of stuff. I'd lost my job that I loved. Relationships are going down the pan. So there's a lack of, there's a loss of identity, a loss of sense of belonging. And then, yeah, I found myself stood on top of a cliff thinking like, right, okay, well, if I'm not doing well at stuff, maybe my purpose is done. I should, whether that was me being serious about it, I think it was, whether I was going to do it or not, it was something I needed to do to suddenly be like, hang on a minute.
I found that, like, because of the nature of depression and anxiety and all of that,
yeah,
sometimes you can find yourself in that place. Or sometimes I found myself in that place, and I had like almost put blinkers on. There's this apathy where it's like no one cares about me, you know, like nothing's going right. I'm not meant to be here. Da 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 da.
Yeah.
But actually, if I had really, like I said, been honest with myself or been honest to people around me, then I start to, having to believe that you are important to someone else is a really difficult thing.
Yeah.
But it's almost always true.
Definitely, yeah. You know, I feel like it every now and again. I fucking probably had it last week. And it's about me going, right, I'm feeling like this and acknowledging it and being like, right, there's obviously a reason. And then I normally just phone a good mate and be like, ah, I'm feeling pretty shit at the moment. I don't know why.
I remember I've read this book called Letting Go by this professor.
Heard of it.
But he does this thing, or maybe I'm assuming he does this thing, but I'm sure he spoke about it and now I do it, which is that whenever he feels... No, he does do this. Whenever he feels a bit down, he will actively do the opposite to someone else. So he'll be like... hit someone up and go, hey, think you're great, how are you?
He'll do that
to someone else when he's feeling rubbish. Sometimes I feel as though trauma actually isn't that subjective in its truest sense, as in some things will shock everyone to a degree. But I worry that because of the nature of situations that men end up in, there is, like, when I talk to some of my friends who have grown up in particularly violent estates,
yeah,
it almost feels as though you desensitize yourself to it.
Yeah.
Or you just, it becomes a new normal.
Yeah. It's a coping mechanism for humans. So you'll see something and you're like, ah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I need to get on with whatever it is I'm doing. Life, I can't respond to that. You can't go into a flat spin about that because I've got to carry on doing other things.
Yeah, yeah.
So you normalise it. You normalise it. It doesn't, and sometimes it won't come back or at all, but other times you might be in a position where you're like negatively responding to things because of what had happened in the past. Now I know I can go into situations where I'm going to be in seeing some horrific stuff or being in some quite hairy things. And like last year, shot a documentary and turned up to a scene and there was a bloke chopped up into pieces. And
what?
And it was a case of, you know, I'd sort of prepared. I think a lot of it was to do with, fortunately, being in situations, you know, war situations where stuff's pretty horrific, that I was able to be like, right, okay, it's an acceptance of something might happen, and then when it does happen, you're sort of all right with it, and then it's about being an observer means there's not an awful lot you can do about it.
Sure. You've touched a little bit on relationships. On an emotional level, because, you know, because to talk to someone like yourself about a concept like heartbreak.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
heartbreak. I've experienced heartbreak on a super level, I suppose. I think the breakdown of my first marriage was, I was pretty devastated about that. That cut me up. It probably not, and I would suggest it was my fault. You know, I was involved in a job that pretty much sucks up your entire energy, life and time. And I actually, you know, we got married, we had a kid, my kid was not very well, and I saw it selfishly as an embuggerance, as something that was, you know, hindering my ability to continue in my career a little bit.
Right.
I was having to take time off from work, spend time with those people, and I think, you know, I've dealt with it in a bad way. But the thing about going away war fighting is, yes, people see it as this uber stressful situation that's horrific, but it's a release. It's a way of getting away from the proper noise of proper life, because it is so cut and dry out there. It's, yes, there's stressful things going on, but it's obvious what the score is. You've got someone trying to kill you and vice versa,
right?
And that's all you've got to worry about. Don't worry about bills. It's like an escape. And then actually you come back and you can't differentiate between certain things, and you don't know how to act because you don't know whether you might cause an argument. What if I say this? What if I don't say that? I've got bills to pay. The car's broken down. Oh my God, I want to get out there because...
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I do completely. There's a couple of questions that I always ask on a podcast, which are a little bit lighthearted. Well, depending on how you answer them. But we're going to do this. So, straight up, what's your favourite colour?
Black.
Really?
Yeah.
That is depressing. That is officially the most depressing answer.
It's not, is it?
I'm kidding. I just thought it would be funny for me to say that.
It's a slimming colour.
Firstly,
you know what I mean?
If we're going to get pedantic about it, black's technically a shade. It's actually the absence of light.
Is it? when I was at school, it's a colour.
Yeah, okay, black. All right, I get that. So that is your colour of choice. Fair enough. What's your favourite shape?
Mountains.
Oh.
I'm fascinated by them, and I'm fascinated by their shapes that they create. I've just come back from South America.
So a pyramid, I think, would be the official mathematical term.
Okay, pyramid. But I prefer a more haphazard pyramid.
Oh, you want the ruggedness?
Yeah, I like the ruggedness.
Yeah, you need to have terrain.
I like it. I like terrain, yeah. I like the way it's just... When you look at a mountain, and I know I'm going on to an object now, not a shape, but
it's a shape.
But when you look at them sometimes, especially where I've just come back from, they're alive.
Yeah,
they like bleed rocks, and the energy, there's energy coming from them.
Okay, I love that. What would be your best period, you'd say, of mental well-being?
I'd say now.
Yeah,
I think you know, I could say when I was, you know, younger, but I think younger's good, but that's, I was probably a little naive to stuff. I'm probably still naive to a lot of stuff, but but now I'm still learning about myself, and I think I've built up a management system in myself about coping with things and how to manage, you know, if I wake up one morning, I'm like, why am I feeling down?
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah, and so don't get me wrong, I'm not naive to the fact that, you know, things could come around and bite me in the arse, but hopefully I'll, you know,
but that is
roll
it,
with
though.
It.
But yeah. That's it though, is to be, feel as though you're equipped for that. The way I look at it is it's just like strengthening your toolkit, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And you also know, I know how I might react to certain things, and I know that I'm probably, you know, I think I've got seasonal anxiety disorder.
Mate,
do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Mate, I've got that for 100%. Sure.
If I see a spot of blue sky, I'm like, yes.
Yeah. No, for real.
So, yeah, it's things like that. Yeah,
mate, I'm totally with you on that. I've had to succumb recently to how much I've enjoyed routine, and that's been a real pain for me because I've built up my defense to the world as being someone who can organize chaos. Like, I love chaos, and I'm like,
I'm the same.
Yeah,
mate. So I've always off chaos, but then I don't really like it either
because it's stressful. I know, but it's because you're like so used. It's almost like you build a relationship with a state of anxiety. So it's like I can do that. And then recently I've got this dog called Spike, who I love, and I've had this newfound amazingness, which is that if I feel stressed at night or even in the morning, I go, well, I know that tomorrow morning I'm going to get up, I'm walking Spike, I'm getting breakfast, I'm reading my book, and I'm back. And then it can be whatever.
Yeah.
But it grounded me. And I'm like, and I've had to give in. I've been like, oh, it works.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know.
I think I was pretty much similar to you. My family, like, my mum and dad, they're not together now, but they split up after me and my brothers left home.
Right.
But it was we there was no routine. It was mad. We were all just over the. But I'm whatever. Quite happy that was the case because it.
You're more adaptable.
I wasn't governed by routine, and I think sometimes if you're governed by routine and then that routine falls foul, sometimes you'll see people just go like,
break.
Poof, and you're like,
yeah, of course. You've got to find a balance. Mm. That's it. That's the thing of it all, and that's what I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to go the other way.
Yeah.
Well, so another we've just done a gig called Music for Mental Health. Are there any specific artist songs, albums that have meant something special to you, have got you through a period of your life or you can't listen to it again?
I've got I would suggest I've got the most diverse taste in music anyone
in the whole world ever.
I reckon
that's a big one. Yeah,
but I've listened to sort of, I think I attribute it a little bit to the military, so I've been influenced by older people in the military, so I'll listen to a bit of rock, but I'm a big I'm like huge house music fan.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like a bit of beefer, do you?
Yeah, that I sort of grew up in, and when I was growing up in Luton, it was a time of the raves and all that sort of
amazing.
Yeah.
So you listen to it when you were used to
go to them. Yeah, I do like a lot of cheese. Kylie Minogue.
Cheesy.
I love it.
La la la.
It's good. La la la. Even the early stuff, you know.
I don't know any early stuff.
I Should Be So Lucky. Surely you do.
I Should Be So Lucky. Yeah, that's like Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Bit of classical.
Who's your favourite classical composer?
Mate, I don't even know what they are.
I
know pieces of music, and I'm like, that's really good.
Mate.
I'm back.
That's exactly what I am, yeah.
Don't even know.
Bark.
I like
Bark, mate.
I was a big fan of Rizzle Kicks.
Yes!
Mate, I used to, so much so that my missus at the time bought me a t-shirt with I Love Rizzle Kicks on it.
Don't lie!
True story. Oh. People used to, they were like, I never saw that coming. You're like this ex, I'm like, they're good.
Listen, Rizzle Kicks is big in the ex-military scene.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. I have no idea, but I think if you did want to listen to a song to maybe soothe yourself post-war, I'm pretty sure Mum would do the hump.
Yeah, mate, it's fucking brilliant. You've got some moves, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. It actually means a lot. But was there ever a situation that is now only bound by this memory of a specific song? Was I Could Be So Lucky echoing through your teenage years?
It didn't, no. Do you know where that I'll tell you where that song echoes. I wrote a book and it's documented in there. There was a moment when I'm sat on the back of a helicopter flying through the night on going into some crazy night mission, and I've got my iPod in. Old iPod shuffle. Yeah. It's just on
loop.
Yeah. Playing lots of they were good.
So
the little
simple,
square ones.
So
yeah,
simple.
Yeah. Good for doing training. It's just
it's tiny.
Yeah, but I'd just taken it off, and as I'd taken it off, I'd been listening to Kylie, I Should Be So Lucky, yeah.
Whilst you were
and then
in the military.
As I'd take it off, the sky erupted, and there's gunfire flying through the sky, and it was all in this green haze that you see in the night vision, and that's all I can remember
that's
in my head.
That's incredibly contrasting.
Yeah, I Should Be So Lucky, and I got out of there.
Wow.
But yeah, it was I don't know why I remember it, but it was obviously because it was the last thing that I was listening to before I put it away. So... But also on that playlist, there would be NWA, there would be Coldplay, there'd be Slipknot. It was pretty all over the place.
I feel like Slipknot would be more fitting for a war scenario.
Yeah, probably a bit of whatever.
It's weird that to think that some songs can be more fitting for war. Is there anything that you do to look after your mental health?
Right, there is. I have like this thing. And I've had to say it to myself over and over and over and over again for it to now sort of become second nature. Don't worry about something that hasn't happened, which is what anxiety is.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't quite make sense if you word it like that.
You're worrying
about something that hasn't happened. And then when it does happen, it's too late to worry about it. You've got to deal with it. And that's like enticing chaos, you know. You like to deal with the chaos.
Yeah.
But whilst you're in that state of not worrying about the future, you know, once something's happened, it's sort of the past. You just got to deal with your emotions allow yourself to be more childlike, and that doesn't mean forget diary dates and shit like that, but it means as an example, if I wanted to walk out the door it would take me about 3 seconds to walk to door knock or go. If I told a kid of 18 months old to go from here and walk out the door, it'd take about 45 minutes because it's so interested in everything else that's going on. That it does other things, and it might fall over and hurt itself and cry, but then in about 30 seconds, it doesn't care what happened then. It doesn't care what's going to happen in the future because all it does is live in the now.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not so much an actual thing, it's more a mindset thing of that.
Okay, so if you had a whole hour, which is another thing we do with I'm Whole campaign, is encourage people for at least an hour a day to separate themselves, I'd say, from the testing conformity of our current life being phones, social media, blah, 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 work. What would you do with your whole hour?
My whole hour?
If you had an hour.
I regularly try to do this. I don't know whether this counts, whether it's acceptable, but I like to train.
That definitely
Train's probably, that's my meditation. It doesn't always work out that I don't check the phone because there might be some things going on that I need to check it for, which is just being a grown up, which is annoying. But normally
how long do you train for?
I try to get a good hour and a half in. But, and then I make a point of getting out and about into the country and just, you know.
Countryside?
Yeah.
Nature?
Yeah, I love the city, don't get me wrong.
Nature is essential.
Yeah.
Seriously.
There's something to be said for mountains.
Seriously.
In fact, Rock to Recovery talks about this.
Really?
Mountains, music and water.
It would have been great if the last one was another M, wouldn't it?
I know, yeah.
If you think, is another word for water, that is the biggest one.
Moisture.
Nice. Thank you.
Some people don't like that word, though.
Love it. I love it.
Moist, I think, is the word.
I love moisture. Like. Yeah, music, mountains, and moist. I love
Depends
it.
What
Team Moist.
Someone said to me the other day about you need to keep your shed in order. And I was like,
well, I mean, literally, do you have a shed?
No. Okay. I mean, it would need keeping in order if I did have one.
Definitely, same.
But I think it was sleep.
Mate, sleep is a big one. Like, there's a scale, I can't remember what it's called, but there's a scale that measures depression, or like a level of depression. Mm-hmm. And antidepressants can improve the scale in whatever way by 1.5 or something. But sleep is on like 8. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I don't know the finite details, but what he's saying is something along the lines of sleep is 7 times more effective, I'd say, or 6 times more effective. I think that in this current world we live in, we underestimate how much of a mental impact technology has on us.
Oh, massive.
So it's like, but the energy can be so specific. So I actually believe that there's a different mental state for not even being. What I find is when I don't have my phone on me, like sometimes I go and walk the dog without my phone, right? And I'll just have
It's less stressful.
And I have a book. Mm. And there'll be times where I'm sitting down in a cafe, I'm reading this book or whatever, and I'm just thinking, like, this is almost the truest form of peace. Like, because I don't even have the option of caring about something else.
Right? Yeah, yeah. That is an option.
Of caring about. And you look on it and there's loads of shit to care about. Yeah, and I would like to think I'm a caring person, but we do kind of have way too much access to, like, continuous trauma.
Yeah.
And continuous fun. Like, I feel it in my head. I go, oh, if I look at my phone, maybe I'll get a text or email.
Yeah. Validation, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, Jason, absolute pleasure, mate. Like, no, genuinely, mate, great conversation.
Much, yeah. And, cheers, thank you for letting us come in.
Mate, no, thank you for being part of the Whole Truth Podcast.
No, it's a big thing.
BAP. I don't know what I mean. I don't know why I said that. Should we do a different one? Let's do a different exit. Jason, thank you very much for Whole Truth Podcast. Appreciate it. Your honesty, openness is important to us. Peace out.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Powered by Spirit Studios.